Imagine being able to travel to any point in time. Where would you go? And what would you do? You could witness some of the greatest moments in history.
That's gotta be Kane! Break it down!
Break it down. Welcome to a very special episode of Turnbuckle Time Machine. And I know you're thinking, what is that episode? Why did I click on the 100th episode? What possibly could it be? Well, it is indeed 100 episodes. And Woo! Wow, we have made it.
We should have got some champagne for this. Like, we did episode one. Every 100 episodes, yeah. We pop champagne.
Yeah.
We fucked that up.
Fuck.
We'll do every 1,000. Every 1,000 episodes.
Yeah, that's right around the corner. Let me guess. Roman Reigns will be the title holder. So, yeah, we're going to keep this one short. I think we were going to do an episode to kind of recap the year of 1997.
It's not only the 100th episode, but it's the last. We just finished the last Raw of 2017.
Oh, so it worked out perfectly. I thought we just thought, like, we'll just.
Worked
out perfectly.
And then we'll start next episode with 1998, which is what we all been waiting for.
Klaus
knew what he was doing for sure.
How weird though, 100 episodes ends at 97. Yeah. And we just started at a random Raw.
Huh. Makes you think, doesn't
makes
it?
It's as if someone had a time machine invented this. You know, we already did this in another dimension. Like, damn, dude, 100 ends.
Yeah, it would be also, nice, like, didn't we also not air one episode? So it's like, really, it wouldn't have never made sense. It would have been 101, and we would have...
Big 101 Dalmatian party we would have had. I would have been dressed as... Who would have been the Dalmatian? I would probably have been... You would have been Cruella de Vil.
Oh, yeah. I got a sweet Cruella de Vil cosplay set up. Bush and everything.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So the OnlyFans is paying off. You let the guys buy the outfits for you? Let me see your Amazon wish list.
No. I buy it.
What's with chicks
I'm
now?
A strong, independent woman.
What is with chicks now that, like, they don't even have OnlyFans, but it's just like you go to, like, their Instagram or whatever, and it's like, here's my Amazon wish list. And it's like, who the fuck's dropping $400 on that air fryer for you?
Perverts. Or just, like, a friend. I don't know.
Should we all just start putting
Amazon wish lists? We should do that. We got to get more active on social media.
Yeah.
Just have a wish list.
Yeah. But it should just be like everyday stuff.
Yeah, like an on-air sign or a bidet or toothpaste.
Toothpaste, yeah.
Condoms.
Nah. Not a condom.
Condoms are for sailors. Not a condoms. Great stocking Perfect. Stuffer.
We have enough. And just great regular stuffer. Yeah. So a couple things, and no particular order on these. I have my picks on these. You have your picks on these.
Yep.
And let's discuss. I'm gonna go backwards on my list because I think I have some of the hard hitters up front that we can talk. Yep. Let's get this out of the way. And you know, 1997 was such a long year that. Sometimes I can't remember like the last episode we did, so there's probably some good hidden gems I might be missing, but let's discuss them. Let's talk sign of the year.
I like this a good starting one because it gets you going, and I thought we would have the same one. Oh, and I had
two, really.
You have two? Okay.
Yeah. Well, you can see mine. I can't see
yours.
So what
are your two?
Mine was just the Hightown sign.
Oh, Hightown, yeah.
Hightown was recent. Classic. Was it about us? Was it not about us? It's fun.
It was my sign, dude.
It was your sign, yeah. Right. I'm going to go with China Has No Vagina. That one, you know, saying it out loud now, could be better signs. In the moment, I thought that was very iconic. I thought, I'm pretty sure I said how profound it was in one of the episodes.
Yeah, well, I know that one was good. And it rhymes. China has no vagina.
Yeah, rhyming's big for me.
But I did also think that my favorite China one was China has a sack.
Oh, yes. Yes. Can we agree that these are the sign of the year?
Do well,
we
have no, the same no, I have or? I have a whole totally different sign of the year.
Oh, you don't, because that one definitely takes the cake. China has a sack.
No, mine, Brett Humps Cows.
That's what a classic. That has to be.
Yeah.
So runner-up was China Has a Sack. I think I remember listening to that episode as I was editing. I think I was like, just cooking dinner. It's on in the background. And then I remember saying, China Has a Sack. I said it with such a straight face, and I was crying in my kitchen. I like play it back again. I almost like called him like, dude, China Has a Sack is so fucking funny. Oh my God.
Big Brett Humps Cows guy.
No, Humps Cows has to take the cake because we referenced it so many times.
Yep. That was my clear cut winner of the sign of the year.
Yeah, I'm glad you thought of that one.
I think the signs are only going to get better from here, though.
They have to. I remember Prime Attitude. It's like, there are going to be too many signs.
Right, we're going to have to pause it.
For sure, yeah. We should almost keep an Excel sheet for everything so we can easily go back to. Let's talk conspiracies, because we are sort of a conspiracy podcast as well. Biggest conspiracy of the year.
Is well.
What do you got for conspiracy of the year?
I think there's only one that it could be.
Mm-hmm.
It's that Vince McMahon screwed the fans.
Yeah.
Screwed the wrestlers.
Yeah. Biggest conspiracy of 1997.
Fucking murdered Brian Pillman.
We're on the same page here.
He murdered Brian Pillman. Perfect. And he's just laughing and laughing, selling his company for $9 billion now.
Yeah.
While the blood of Brian Pillman is on his hands.
Yeah.
And he wasn't even trying to hide it.
We can go deep on this. I mean, how much... who's involved? I don't know. Is Marlena involved on that? Because they had that little bit of a bet, the hiatus.
Yeah, she was his slave or whatever, or secretary, technically, which he banged for some reason.
I mean, that's secretaries back in the 90s,
yeah,
right?
Vince knows what that's about.
Yeah.
Another conspiracy. I think there had to have been. Okay. It's the first time I'm saying this.
Sure.
What if Vince was banging Marlena? Then Brian Pillman won this stipulation all because of Goldust. Vince couldn't bang Marlena for a month, so he killed Brian Pillman.
Or Brian was onto the fact that Marlena's pussy smelled like Vince McMahon. Smells like Jacquard Noir. Vince wears that. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we could probably get 3 hours worth of content on just this conspiracy alone.
We should just do like a whole documentary on this. Just start interviewing everybody.
Yeah,
we could. And it still would be less insensitive than Vince's interview of Brian Pillman's ex, like widowed wife, the day after his death.
Yeah,
on live television.
At least we would get Gangrel.
We'd get Gangrel for sure.
Yeah.
Banging and banging.
Yeah, that's the only one we interview during the whole entire documentary.
He wasn't even in the company at the
time. But we keep mentioning him, like, former WWE star at the bottom. Like, we know, it's the only one you guys have.
Banging and banging. That could be another documentary.
Talk about your relationship with Brian Pillman. He goes, well, I never met him. But I can imagine. He was the best.
He was doing some banging over the year, too.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Some action with Marlena.
Potentially sunny on the beach.
Yeah. That we saw evidence of that one, too.
Maybe that was the conspiracy, too. Because who's just filming that, you know?
I think it's all something to do with his promiscuous penis and Vince McMahon being jealous, I think.
Promiscuous penis, for sure. Let's talk outfits. This is getting sad. Let's talk best outfits of the year.
Best Auschwitz of the year?
No, we can't say that. We can't do that anymore. Best anti-Semitism rant? We'll skip past that one. Let's stick with the outfit. Best costume of the
best
year.
You had a costume? What was yours?
There were so many. I want to say second runner-up for me. Or not second runner-up, because that is second. Runner-up for me was Goldust and the ball gag, with the lime green and the pink hair.
Oh, yeah. That was a good one.
I think he... Was that when he was reading Dr. Seuss? I'm not sure. But this one, I really did enjoy. And that is the Sultan with the tracksuit on.
Oh, yeah, when he came in to help.
Yeah.
Still had his pointy shoes and his mask.
Bingo.
And a sweatsuit.
I mean, you gotta be, you gotta slide to something. You
that guys, it's a good outfit.
Yeah. You got a best outfit?
Yeah, I think I want a little different way with this one. Mm-hmm. Mine is when Sable was wearing a potato sack.
Oh, that's classic. That's classic.
I think she was rocked that potato sack.
Oh, yeah. So was it really China who had the sack? Or was it really
maybe that Sable? Was China's sack that she borrowed.
Yes, it was.
It didn't look her size.
It did not look her size. So maybe that's why China ended up getting the implants. Right. She's like, man, Sable looks so good in that sack.
Yeah, and I can never, nobody ever compliments me when I have that sack. It's my sack.
It's my sack.
I was born with this sack. And now I give it to one lady and she's all flaunting it all over town. So
China was born with the sack.
She's Irish.
You know, that's been confirmed.
Everybody gets a potato sack when you're born.
Oh, man.
I think, I was gonna either go with a really sexy Sunny costume or the potato sack. Those are my two winning candidates there.
No, potato sack is definitely the funniest one there. Because then Sunny would just win basically any award on here.
The Funkettes if they ever showed up again.
Yeah. Whatever happened to them? Don't answer that. There's a documentary coming out. I heard that Flash Funk took them to North Korea.
Oh, so they're still with Kim Jong-un. I bet they're Kim Jong-un's parents. Because he's like, what, 27, 28, 30? So like, he's right there. You're telling me he's not Funk. He doesn't have that Flash Funk. He got that hairstyle. He's got that haircut just like Flash Funk had.
So Flash Funk and Rod the Funkettes made Kim Jong-un.
No, well, somehow. Yeah. Somehow, maybe. And I'm sure there was some immaculate conception there, you know?
Sure.
Because they do say that the North Korean leaders are...
the funkiest of all leaders.
The funkiest of all leaders.
They have the funkiest rockets, that is for sure. The funkiest leaders.
You just hear... Every time the rocket launches, you hear the Flash Funk theme song.
Flash Funk.
And the Funkettes shooting a rocket.
It's, They were from Houston, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Man. It's all coming together.
It all ties together so quickly. It's all under our noses this entire time. Let's talk pay-per-view of the year. We had some really bad ones. We had some decently good ones. I'm kind of, as I'm trying to remember most of these, WrestleMania 13 I thought was good. But I also thought Canadian Stampede wasn't bad either. I feel like I'm missing one. SummerSlam was decent.
So One Night Only was my runner-up, I think. That was, like, sneakily a really good pay-per-view, I thought.
Yeah, definitely a dark horse.
Yeah, like, I didn't expect... Yeah. I think we almost didn't even do it because we didn't realize it was there until, like, the Raw before.
And that almost brings me back to the point, was, is that why it was so good?
Maybe, we didn't have the expectations.
I still think it was a great pay-per-view.
Well, so which one are you going with?
I think I'm just going to do WrestleMania 13. I thought they brought it that year.
The main event was actually better than I thought of that one. Psycho Sid and Undertaker.
Yeah, I thought.
But still not. That I don't think that was going to be mine just because of that. But my pick is partially because of the pay-per-view was really good. Some memorable moments, some of the most. Mm-hmm. Also because we made a pretty big smash hit song to it. So my pay-per-view is Bad Blood. Bad Blood pay-per-view.
I thought that pay-per-view sucked. The main event was good. I'm pretty sure that's your
the main event.
Like, what'd you think of Bad Blood? You're like, well, the pay-per-view sucked.
But I love singing the song, man.
Yeah.
This doesn't get old.
Right.
Yeah.
So if I asked you a year ago without the song, you would have been like, yeah, definitely Canadian Stampede.
A year ago, I wouldn't have watched Canadian Stampede.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I think probably, I don't know what the second would have been. Probably, what was SummerSlam? I feel like that was a good one. What's it?
SummerSlam is good. Owen and Stone Cold.
Oh, that's when he broke his neck. That was a good pay-per-view, too.
Yeah,
I'm going with Bad Blood.
Okay.
Because... That's the Hell in a Cell.
Iconic moment for sure.
And
what a good pay-per-view for Puerto Ricans, too.
Yeah.
They built the Hell in a Cell.
Oh, did they? Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah, the Boricuas?
Yeah, Boricuas.
Yeah. I just rewatched the Dark Side of the Ring with like the murder of Bruiser Brody, which happened in Puerto Rico.
Mm.
And what's his name? Tony Atlas is like one of the witnesses. He's like the one guy who saw the whole thing happen. And like he was trying to say that this other wrestler stabbed Bruiser Brody, which is what happened. But when he got back, it was one of the Puerto Rican wrestlers. Like he said, he walked into the ring and Savio Vega was there. And he's like, dude, hey, I went to your room. I got your papers. But don't go back to your room because they're waiting for you there. So then he just walked the beach all night and slept on the beach. Because he wouldn't go back to his room because he thought they were going to get him. All because Savio Vega saved him.
Wow.
Yeah. The more you know.
Mm-hmm. All these documentaries coming in. All right, let's talk Heel of the Year.
I got... it's not a short, super long one, but I went with HBK on this one.
Absolutely.
Because he's such a piece of shit right now. And he was for a long time, even as a face. So, like, you almost already hated him.
Mm-hmm.
But then with the heel turn, he did some of the heeliest stuff. One Night Only.
One Night Only was definitely the big catalyst of it all, for sure. Especially what, you know, the backstage thing and him telling Vince to... switch the match last minute to give him heat, even though I'm pretty sure he just wanted to title around his waist, in my opinion. But I'm going to go a different angle here. I'm going to go with the guy who, you know, Sean was always heel or face on this other, you know, isn't he? I'm going to go with the flat-out heel turn of Mark Merrow, Marvelous Mark Merrow.
He is a good heel. He is a piece of shit. Right
I mean,
now.
He came back... off of that injury and just, you know, his knee got better, but his heel got stronger, I'd say.
He's just punching everybody in the dick and demeaning women. That's like, that's a great character.
That's
great
character. The heelest of the heels. Yep. Let's talk about best tag team.
All right, tag team of the year. Who do you got?
I'm going to go with, it's a newer tag team, young for their age, and a couple of outlaws. I'm going to go with the New Age Outlaws, but I do want to say, I guess my honorable mention here will be Shawn and Triple H. I know not quite a tag team, but more of a stable, but they did do a match, I think it was against Bret and Owen, or one of somewhere in the Hart Foundation, and I thought that they together, the first tag team that they did together, and they looked incredible, and I wish we would have saw a little bit more of them actually doing a tag team, but I'm going to give it to the New Age Outlaws.
I would say maybe next year it's going to be New Age Outlaws for me, but they just kind of started being a thing. They don't even have the name yet, right?
It just kind of came at the end.
So for me, it's the team that carried the tag team division through the Dark Ages, Bulldog and Lil Oe. That's my tag. And they were champs for most of the year, probably for like 5 or 6
years. Sure. Yeah, that's
my that's my tag team of the year for sure. Mm-hmm. And I think they were a really good team. They lasted way longer than I thought they would.
Yeah. Remember they had that like fake falling out, like when's it gonna happen? And then like Bret got the Hart Foundation together. Bret, like we're stronger than ever now.
Bret did.
They
were about to break up, and then Bret has a heel turn, and then comes back as. I was gonna say Bret for heel of the year too, but he's just not. He was just not good. It's like I don't know. We did use Sean and Stu's promos a lot.
Yeah.
As a heel, but I couldn't give it to him because he just didn't have the charisma.
Yeah, no.
I don't think he wanted to be a heel, you know? You gotta want that shit.
He didn't. Let's throw this one in there. I don't have an answer for this, but kind of speaking of which, stable of the year. You know, we have DOA.
The
Boricuas.
The Truth Commission.
Truth Commission.
Nation of Domination.
NOD, DX.
I think Hart Foundation might be it for me. I don't know. It's either Hart Foundation or...
I'm going to have to go DX on this one.
See, mine is just so...
Is that such an easy answer?
It's an easy answer, but also it's like, to me, it's barely, there was barely any DX. You had Nation of Domination like the whole year.
Yeah, but
you had DX for the last quarter.
Yeah, but you had already, I would say this, in this short amount of time, you had DX, right? You had Rick Rude, China, Triple H, and HBK, but then you quickly had Jim the Anvil, Neidhart.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. One of the guys from the Hart Foundation, I guess.
If you wanna consider it, who else did we have for just a small snippet of time?
Small few seconds. Harvey Wimpleman.
Mm-hmm.
As Rick Rude, basically.
Right.
Both China's tits.
Both of China's tits, right. Yeah, so I think just the development in such a short period of time, plus the impact that it
has. It's the best of all the groups, for sure. But like of 97 for me, I think I'm going to go with the Nation of Domination. That would be my pick for 97.
Okay, NOD.
Yeah, sure. a lot of good members. The Rock's starting to come into his own.
Yeah,
that's mine. That's mine.
Yeah, new people. They're developing for sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Let's talk the best feud.
Best feud.
Best feud. Neck and Bean. Best feud going on. Who put on the best matches? Who had the best promos? Who had the best storyline?
Yeah, I think I went with the. I think I just. I think I got had to give it to Brett and Sean.
I'm gonna have to give it to The Rock.
Go on. No, Brett and Sean.
Brett and Sean
had
for
a great
sure.
feud, culminated in such a big moment, and it was kind of all year. Like ever since Brett came back, there was always just that simmering of a feud between them, even if it wasn't directly them fighting each other.
Right, like even when it was HBK and Undertaker, you still had Shawn.
Yeah,
you
still plugged in there, and definitely. And it was always in the back of your mind.
Yeah, I mean, if we're being honest, we rode an entire year almost on that feud, so you almost have to give it to him. I do want to say, as an honorable mention, I will give a little shout out to Triple H and Mankind, just because their feud wasn't, you know, main event cards, but they always put on phenomenal matches.
Yeah, for sure. Two young guys.
I think those were like some of the best matches that were on either pay-per-views or, you know.
That's one thing. I don't think I have Mankind in any of my things, but like he was so key to this year.
Yeah.
He'd just be like most improved player or something.
Yeah, well, there had to be good wrestling. There had to be, like, besides the storylines,
right,
there's
true.
So
like,
much of,
oh,
like,
shit, we got all this drama. Let's just throw
there had to be, like, hey, who was actually good at the wrestling?
We'll do the craziest shit. Who has three characters that we can milk and use?
Yeah, who are the best three characters? For sure. All right, let's talk about, we know 97 was a pivotal moment, and we watch it now. You know, we're guys that, you know, luckily we cannot be canceled, which is great. We have that.
Uncancelable.
Yeah, we almost have like tenure, if you will. But we look back at some moments and you go, damn, that, you couldn't do that today, or you couldn't say that today, or wow, you would have been canceled in today's society. So let's talk cancelable moments. What do you have?
You know, I was thinking about this. You know, it's wild. It's like all of the Goldust stuff that Goldust says now would be like lauded by the public. Like media would love it. Him coming out as a gimp suit, reading Green Eggs and Ham All Gay, and being at like to the Dominatrix Saluna.
Sure.
People would love that now.
Yeah.
But now he's doing it as like a heel thing. But my cancelable moment is part of that. It is King and Goldust feuding. King has a promo, I think, before their match where he calls him a flaming maggot.
Mm-hmm.
Just right there, man.
Yeah, that was it. It was funny because we watched it where it said it live, and then the next one, I think we had a bet, do they say it on the recap, and they bleeped it out. That was whatever card I made up on that was fucking brilliant. That the amount of times that the crowd chants maggot to people. Besides the gay stuff, though, I went a different route on this. And I know any one of those can easily, I mean, all of this could have been cancelable. I think it still comes back to what should have been cancelable back then that still holds up to today. And I'm going to go with Vince's interview with Bethany Pillman.
That should have been canceled
then. Right. And it's now. Even if you took it back to 91, it's still not a good moment
at
all.
That would have never been a good move. Never.
It was very distasteful then.
That's a good one.
Yeah. So let's talk about any times that we've gotten a little bit of erection with or without the assistance of Mount Everest.
Oh, right.
Let's talk boner of the year. Yeah.
You want a boner faster than Mount Everest? Watch one of these moments in 1997 WWF.
And what is that moment for you?
For me, I think it comes down to one moment and one moment only. Fondle Me Elmo.
Was that 97?
That was 97.
That
so,
should have been my costume of the year then. I thought that was 96.
The Elmo costume.
Yeah, that would have been my costume of the year.
With the underwear.
Yes.
I did look it up. It was 97.
That was early
97. Yeah.
This year has flown by. I thought that was 96.
Yeah, I did too. That's why I referenced it. I also thought the Goldust thing.
So, sorry, Sultan. I know you're happy you made it on the list, but I'm going to have to go with the Follow Me Omo costume. And yeah, what a boner moment indeed. I took something very relatively soon that gave me the most recent boner. And that was just meeting the new girls.
The new members of DX?
The two Chinese women.
Ah.
China's new tits, the cans.
Made in China.
With China's plural, yeah. So a couple good boners of the year. But there's a lot to think of. We had Brian Pillman and Sonny.
We had Brian Pillman
and Marina. Brian Pillman running that water in the hotel and writing hearts on the steamed mirror.
Oh yeah, mm-hmm. a lot of sunny moments, a lot of Sable moments. I think the bonus.
Oh, can I do? Can I switch mine?
Yeah.
I want to talk Marlena when she had like the wet hair, the running mascara.
When she was with Brian Pillman.
Yeah, she was the secretary.
Oh yeah, that was
on a leash.
That was
that was probably my favorite. Oh man, I
forgot about that.
I will say though,
we watched that at Beat Ups together.
Yeah. Yes, we did. Yeah. The wings were hot that night.
Blazing.
Dude, there was a lot of moments in this. I'm like, God damn, Sunny's hot. But seriously, that moment, like, still, because even like 90s chicks, like. Like, I don't know if it's like the hair, that they're not like as hot as like things are today, but that was 100% true.
She was ahead of her time there. Brian Pillman knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
R.I.P., dude.
Yeah, R.I.P. Brian Pillman.
Gone too soon.
All right, let's talk about worst botch. And I think we might have this same answer here. Is it the sit-down pile driver by Owen Hart?
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah, worst botch.
That's just like a bad decision. Bad execution of the bad decision, and then just no remorse at all.
No.
So I would say terrible botch.
However, we'll follow that up with the roll-up of the year, perhaps.
Not Mark Miro, because he was injured for a while.
Yeah, thank God. Oh, boy. All right, and this one, you know, some of these are big topics, some of these are little topics, and this is indeed a little topic. I think everyone knows my answer to this one. Let's talk about Little Person of the Year, a.k.a. if we're talking 97 lingo, Midget of the Year, and we all know that I am 100% going to be down for...
Tarantula?
Yes.
Yeah, I got Tarantula too. Yeah.
No, it's going to be Max
Mini. Of course, it's Max Mini. Stole our hearts. Stole our wallets.
Yeah, little bastard.
Stole the crowd from the kid.
And if we're talking about Max Mini's best moment, it could have been when he was biting El Toro's ass.
Yeah.
Or even the ref's ass.
I like when he was on King's lap.
But it is when he's on King's lap, for sure. And let's get down. There's just a few more we're going to cover. Let's talk Wrestler of the Year.
This is a big one here.
This is big in a lot of ways. And... I think I'm gonna go with The Rock.
I'm really surprised you picked that one. I didn't. Why? What was your reason?
Just the development of we watched The Rock. He sucks. We watched him go to DOA, and you know he was kind of getting NOD. Some. Or sorry, yeah.
Wouldn't that be wild if he was in DOA?
No, it wouldn't. No, it
wouldn't. Did we talk about doing some type of combination of DOA and Nation of Domination?
Like if they merged?
Yeah, if they
merged. Would just be the Black Panthers. yeah, but I'm going to choose The Rock, just his development as a character from being nothing to kind of finding his groove. And already with the sideburns, the way he's trying to take over NOD, he's got that swagger now. And just knowing who he becomes. And then he was almost like, I feel like the, not quite Stone Cold in 96, where he's like, he is that guy. But like, he is becoming that guy.
He's getting there. I went with Stone Cold because I think this was such a formative year for him.
Yeah.
He was IC title champion a couple times, broke his neck, kept wrestling.
Comeback story, too. Yeah,
comeback story, and it's just setting him up to you know, finally get his title next year. The fans, like, he's the most
I mean, let's be honest, though. I mean, probably sold the most. He is the wrestler of the year, for sure. But maybe the honorable mention has to be The Rock here and just kind of now doing his thing.
And he drank that beer.
Really, finally. right before the logo change. Now let's talk best moments of 1997. And this could be very broad. This could be anything.
I wouldn't say best. For what I picked, I would say like biggest, most shocking, something like that.
What's up, most shocking moment?
Because and most like the biggest, most shocking
moment.
Biggest moment is what I had.
Not best biggest moment. Biggest moment.
Best moment. Like that would be different to me than what I'm gonna actually pick here, because this will make me seem like a piece of shit if it was my favorite moment of the whole thing.
Which is what?
Which is One Night Only, main event in British Bulldog's hometown, defending the European Championship in front of his dying sister and his entire family. Mm-hmm. Shawn Michaels beats him and then beats the shit out of him with his own knee brace and like talks shit to his wife. And
what a worthless title that Shawn didn't even need to carry him. And then the insult to injury. By the way, this is my answer too. Yeah. Just the biggest moment, because for once, this was the one time that I was like, holy shit. And then I'm like, this makes no sense.
Right.
Like, this is supposed to be like the come home story, the sister's there. And then I'm like, okay, so then I started doing a little bit more research and like the things I was finding out about this one pay-per-view that we almost skipped completely. And yeah, it just proved, A, to your point, how big of a heel Shawn is and just what direction that took. It was a very, it was a big moment. So yeah,
I would have picked Hell in a Cell, Kane's debut, or Montreal Screwjob otherwise, but I had no idea this was coming.
Yeah.
And I think I had anticipated those things, so I knew those were big moments, those things were going to happen, and they delivered. But this was just, like, out of left field shocking. And if you can make me, if I can go back in time and be shocked by wrestling that I already know what's supposed to happen, that's a pretty good moment. So I guess, in hindsight, way to go, Shawn. You really did the right thing.
You did the right thing. And RIP to...
British Bulldog
sister. Also, I mean, even after Hell in a Cell, it wasn't like the entire ring was covered in Boddingtons. That's what happened at the end. I mean, there was so much trash in that ring.
They were more upset there than they were at the Montreal Screwjob, the fans, I think.
100%.
And this is just like, this was actually scripted this way, which probably so was the Montreal
Screwjob. Yeah.
But,
that's another...
another conspiracy. Yeah.
All right, we'll end it up here with the match of the year, and a lot to choose from. Some good from Undertaker. Bret Hart had some good matches as well. Shawn had some great matches. Mankind some honorable mentions, phenomenal matches. I just want to mention the development of Ken Shamrock was not on here. We could have put in most developed wrestler. Right. I thought he's worth mentioning on here. But my match of the year will be from the pay-per-view Bad Blood. Shawn versus The Undertaker. First ever Hell in a Cell and the debut of Kane. Just a lot of shit that went on.
Yeah, even if you take Kane out of it, still the best match of the year.
I think so, yeah. Just from...
The Hell in a Cell was huge.
Yeah.
Just a lot of back and forth. I looked this up beforehand because I wanted to get like some good data to see if there was something that I was forgetting, you know? And of all the, I think this was the only 5-star match that the Wrestling Observer put on from WWF that whole year. There was some other good ones later down the line, but there was a Triple H Mankind match that was pretty high.
Yeah.
But that one, and I was like, yeah.
I think the next closest one was
my number two would have been Bret versus Stone Cold submission match at WrestleMania.
That was great with the blood running down. So, yeah, some honorable mentions there. But I think the storyline, just the iconic moments in this one, when you want to talk about the tombstone that that Kane gave The Undertaker, Kane ripping the entire entrance of the cage off, Shawn getting thrown into the cage, him falling onto the table. I mean, there's so many pivotal moments in that match. Him just constantly kicking the cameraman out of frustration. So yeah, match of the year there. That is the 100th episode, the 1997 WWE recap.
What was your favorite episode of our podcast.
That's a tough one.
See a lot of good ones.
There are a lot of good ones. I really liked. We keep going back to Bad Blood. I like the Bad Blood episode.
Bad Blood episode was good, huh?
Yeah, and then I do like the one where we did the Raw episode, Bad Blood. And then the two Raws after Bad Blood, and then the Raw before
Bad Blood. Hey!
All right, that is the recap. Happy 100th episode. We'll see you on the next one. Good night.
God bless wrestling. R.I.P. Brian Pillman and Klaus.
And British Bulldog sister.